when he was shipping out, so I showed it to him. So tell me about those days when he looked inside, he closed his eyes, all he could say was, I hear bagpipes crying, amazing grace. Oh, my heart beats in a crashing waves. Oh, glory draped like heaven's mercy over the fallen sons. I see all the heroes who were willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives, praying God's grace would keep us safe from harm till it brought us boys back home. Every day I'm giving all I can, 'cause I'm damn proud to be American. Yeah, I made some friends, and I've lost some too. When I think about what they gave for me and you, I hear bagpipes crying, amazing grace, tears rolling down mother's face. Oh, glory draped like heaven's mercy over the fallen sons. I see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives, praying God's grace will keep us safe from harm till they bring us boys back home. I hear bagpipes crying, amazing grace, tears rolling down a mother's face. Oh, glory draped like heaven's mercy over the fallen sons. I see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives. I pray God's grace will keep you safe from harm till it bring you boys back home. Till it bring you boys back home. Till it bring you.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I made it just in time. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 19th of August. It's a Tuesday. And we've got a number of things to discuss with you tonight. It's going to be a little bit different. I found a sound clip that I want to share with you here in a little while. It's only about 5 minutes long. But we'll pick a point here in the during the show that's appropriate. And also, Miss Amy will be with us at the bottom of the hour, so be sure and wait around for that. For those of you that are just tuning in for the first time or haven't been with us for a little while, then, hey, Mother Earth's in there. How you doing? Amy has abandoned her morning show because of her new job, and that's okay. And it's especially okay because now she gets to come in with me. And I like that. And for some of you that haven't been able to catch her in the mornings, well, you have the opportunity to catch her in the evenings now. So she'll be in here for about a half hour, starting it at the bottom of the hour here. And then we'll get back to the regular scheduled doom and gloom, of which there is an adequate supply right now. We have plenty. So nothing... Nothing too exciting going on at Schott's Ranch right now. We've got we do have some classes coming up, but I mean we don't have any special thing. I tell you what, we do have special coming up. We haven't got it all fine tuned yet, but coming up in November is going to be at least a six day executive protection class. It's going to be an awesome class. We have a guy that has been with doing that very thing with the State Department. He's been with Blackwater. He's been other special details over there. And he knows his stuff. He is an awesome individual. And if we get this all worked up where everybody's in agreement with everything, then he'll be coming on board at least to do that for us a couple of times a year. And the first one we're planning probably the third week in November. And this is a six-day class. You're going to go through a lot of very intense stuff, day and night, long days. There'll be it'll be unlike anything that you've ever most of you have ever been through. And that will, I mean, unless you just have the money that you want to do it, which I wouldn't blame you for that. But for those of you that may be looking for a career or a short-term gig over in overseas or something, or even here as far as that goes, this might be a good deal for you to check into. So along with this... We was thinking about this executive protection class, and we got into a big, long discussion, very, very deep discussion about being able to do those kinds of jobs, which would include just being in the military, or in law enforcement, or an armed citizen. And what happens when that time comes, when you let's back off. Let's take the armed citizen out of there. Self-protection doesn't count for what we're talking about. But what happens during that time when you are doing your duty to your country because your president or your governor or someone has insisted that you go and protect interests that you may or may not have interest in. But and because of that, you wind up taking human life. So we think about the choices that we make during those types of deals. So that would be, I think, that if you are a mercenary for hire and do stuff like that on other people's bidding, then that is that's, in most cases, I can't say always, but in most cases, in my opinion, that would be wrong. If you are asked to do it for your country, by your president, your governor, your king, your prime minister, whatever the case may be, then if you are a patriot and care for your country and you do things for all the right reasons, then I see no problem with that. I think that people can make it a problem, because I've seen a lot of people that have been in situations like that, and they get hardened to it. It gets easier, and then after a while, some of them even find that it's fun, and then all the reasons go away, and it becomes nothing more than self-satisfaction, the adrenaline rush, and all the things that go along with it. So there's I think there's a lot to be considered, and this would include the militia. It would include any form or branch of law enforcement, any form or branch of military. And some of those that are in no man's land, you know, that are neither nor. But they're still doing things for the right reasons. So I'm going to play a little video clip for you. And this is a little bit different. We've been talking about more of your moral, if your moral compass is pointing the right direction in some of these things. But let's go way back now. Let's go back before you were old enough to do all this. Let's go back to your early high school days, junior high, your first year of college, and look at the not knowing how all of you were raised or brought up, but look at the way the things you were taught, the way you were raised, and see if that coincided, if that lived harmoniously with some of the decisions that you made your first year of high school, and some of the repercussions that that you may have experienced after that, and your thoughts concerning those two things, what you did and how you were taught, three things, and how you felt afterwards. So there's Minnie, that's not a good thing. Minnie just put a thing up there that says Corona bottles recalled across the United States after distributor finds glass particles in the beer. That is not going to be good. You can kiss Corona goodbye after the lawsuits. Okay. Now we're going a little bit different direction before Amy comes. Okay, so it's a good thing I don't drink anymore either. I don't drink any less, but it's a damn good thing I don't drink anymore. No, I haven't drank anything over 20 years now. So.
Anything or alcohol?
Anything. I don't drink anything.
Wow.
No. I wouldn't have drank beer if I'd have found a better way to get it down. You know, I think a funnel wasn't bad. You know, drinking was just so slow.
Slow? With an IV drip.
Yeah, but it loses something in the transfer there. Yeah. Okay, here we go. I want you. You need to pay attention to this. You need to pay careful attention. Put down what you're doing. Sit down. Turn the speakers up. I want you to pay careful attention to this. This is less than 5 minutes long. I'm going to take of your time here. And this has nothing to do with the doom and gloom or anything else that's going on in the world right now. It's just something that we, what brought this up is we had a little family get together tonight, as we try to do once a week, and settle there and put the everything else aside and devote that time just to thinking about, you know, family things, choices we make, and people in general, you know, and all that.
People are getting irritated.
And, so, no, just you.
No. Because so, it's
not. All right, so I want you to listen to this real closely. All right? Here we go.
Many years ago, Indian youth would go away in solitude to prepare for manhood. One such youth hiked into a beautiful valley. There he fasted, and on the third day decided to test himself against the mountain. He could see forever, and his heart swelled with joy. Then he heard a rustle at his feet, and looking down, saw a snake. Before he could move, the snake spoke. "I am about to die. It is too cold for me up here, and I am freezing. There is no food, and I am starving. Put me under your shirt, and take me down to the valley." "Oh, no," said the youth. "I know your kind. You are a rattlesnake. If I pick you up, you will bite me, and I will die." "Not so," said the snake. "I will treat you differently. If you do this for me, you will be special. I will not harm you." The youth withstood for a while, but this was a very persuasive snake with beautiful markings. At last, the youth tucked it under his shirt and carried it down to the valley. There he laid it gently on the grass. When suddenly the snake coiled, rattled, and struck. biting him on the leg. But you promised, cried the youth. You knew what I was when you picked me up, said the snake as it slithered away. You will always be warned when danger is near. The Lord cannot make your decisions for you, but he will always allow you to be aware of what is right when a decision or action is about to be made. Don't allow yourself to ever believe that you are different, in that you can participate in unrighteous activities even just once and not be hurt. Remember, you knew what I was when you picked me up.
Amy showed me that tonight, and I think that is an awesome video. It's a good sound thing, and it's I think it teaches all of us a lesson that we should think about. All right, let's move on now. There's let me get my list of stuff here. Here, good start. We have our federal government has recently spent, as part of a $435,000 contract, has bought 2,500 spools of concertina wire to complete a border fence that is 6,600 miles from the Rio Grande River in Texas. Instead of completing our fence here between the United States and Mexico, this $435,000 contract is designed to put a fence between Ukraine and the Crimean Peninsula. This is part of a part of an $8 million non-lethal assistance package that was authorized back in April. The orders for a delivery of 2,500 spools of concertina wire to the State Border Guard Service of Ukraine. This was posted on a federal notice at fedbizops.gov. Y'all ought to check that out once in a while. You see contracts for ammunition and all kinds of stuff like that, when jobs put out for bid, security jobs even. Concertina wire is necessary for the State Border Guard Service to defend the newly imposed borders between Ukraine's mainland and the Crimean Peninsula and to strengthen Ukraine's eastern border. So, jumping ahead just a little bit, we have now U.S. Border Patrol agents and militia now struggling to slow down the steady flow of illegals coming into New Mexico, where a 700-mile-long fence that was actually authorized by law in 2006 but has yet to be completed. Yep. October 26, 2006, George W. Bush signed the Secure Fence Act of 2006, which required the Department of Homeland Security to achieve and maintain operational control over the entire international land and maritime borders of the United States, including construction of physical infrastructure enhancements to prevent unlawful entry by aliens into the United States. The law originally set a deadline of May 30, 2008 to be finished. And lo and behold, it has not been yet. To this date, more than 600 miles of fencing have been constructed along the U.S. southern border. But big old holes, lots of gaps in there hadn't been taken care of. There is at least 100 miles of that fence that hadn't been fixed yet. So if you take 100 miles and divide it into little holes here and little holes there and gaps here and there, you know, you can put a whole bunch of gaps in 100 miles. You put a 100-yard gap here and there, or a 5-mile gap here and there, there's lots of places that can be wide open for undesirables to come in here. Let me go and check here and see right quick before I get carried away into something else here. See who all's in the chat room there. Yeah. And I see Double R made it in here with us tonight, but I'm glad you made it. Long time no see. Yeah, wide open for a sniper too. I know that's right. And that's, if I had my way, man, that's what would be happening down there on the border. We would be actually protecting our country instead of watching people come over here and destroy it. And imagine if you lit up a few of them on their way across the border, that pretty soon a lot of the other ones would think that it's probably not that romantic anymore and think twice about doing it. You know, speaking of that, the same, kind of by the same principle, look at the gun sales in Missouri right now, where we have illegal activity. Now, I'm not sure what these people think they're accomplishing by breaking into stores that are unrelated just because they're belong to white people or whatever. I'm not sure how that really benefits anybody. I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely absurd to me. I don't even get it. But there's a, let me get this one open here before I start on another one. This was, I was going to say interesting, but it's really not. It's pathetic. And a looter, and this is off of Breitbart. According to the Washington Post, there was a looter in Missouri that said, let's see, I think I listened to this one, and I don't believe that I can let you listen to this. I think, anyway. This looter said, "I'm proud of us. We deserve this. And this is what's supposed to happen when there's injustice in your community." And this is what the guy says. His name was DeAndre Smith. Washington Post says he was fresh from looting a Quick Trip right there. So what amounts to is all these idiots go out there and found an opportunity to, you know, they embolden one another and they get the opportunity to go and steal stuff. And that's all it meant. They could give a damn less about this, what was his name, Michael Brown. They don't care anything about that. But man, when the glass starts breaking and the doors start caving in, the widescreen TVs start walking out the door, I am all about that. That's, we need to be, yes, sir. We deserve, I'm proud of us. We deserve that. Now, one cop up there described this as looting tourism, not terrorism, tourism. He said of all the, I forgot what the number was. I forgot how many people were arrested. But out of the bunch of them, there's something like, you know, 30, 40, 50 of them. Three of them, the story that I read, were residents. We have looting tourism. We have people that come in from other towns, other communities, to participate in the looting and the stealing and the destruction and the violence. So these people are like moths to a flame. When they get all this stuff happen, they don't care nothing about Michael Brown. That's the furthest thing from their mind. They're not the least bit interested in that. All they're wanting to do is get in there on all the killing and everything. So it's a quite a mess over there, and I still expect that it's going to get better. We're going to get more here before long. There was, I think it was just this morning, a deal on, there was a news story, and at the bottom what it amounted to was, let's see, I might even have that story. Hold on just a minute. I might have saved it. Let me look and see here. I might have held on to that one. Let's see. Stand by just a minute. No, it don't look like I did. But anyway, it had to do with breaking into to stores and looting and everything. And one of the discussion in the bottom, somebody asked, they're talking about the poor business owners and it's so unfair and all that. And I can't, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just a crass old bastard and it is, I shouldn't, maybe I shouldn't think this way. But the way I see it, if you don't want your store robbed, you get a gun, and when people go to rob your store, you shoot them. So what I said in this thing was, you know, if these people had the option of getting a firearm and protecting their store, and if they chose not to do that, then I'm sorry, but if they chose not to do that, then they deserve everything they got. And I hate to have to say that, because this is the United States of America and we shouldn't have to worry about stuff like that. But the fact is that people are always going to be people. There are certain traits that we possess that are always going to be there. And by the very nature of being human beings, there's always going to be something like this going on. So if you don't want your store robbed, if you don't want your house robbed, if you don't want to be raped, if you don't want to be hurt, if you don't want your car stolen, you don't want to be knocked down, you don't want to play the knockout game, you don't, then you need to start carrying a gun, learn how to use it, and have the testicular fortitude to pull the trigger if it actually comes down to it. And, you know, I'm going to step out on a limb here with a little prediction. I'm thinking that if enough people started to do that, and enough of these gangbangers and punks and thieves and rapists and murderers and ne'er-do-wells wound up dying, wounded in the hospital, disabled because of bullet wounds, I'm going to make a little prediction. And it's a shame we'll probably never get a chance to determine if this is going to be true or not. But I'm just thinking that if we ever started doing that, that probably that we'd see this violence start tapering off fairly quickly. And excuse me for being so hard here, but I think if you have the option of owning a gun, which in Missouri is not that hard, if you have an option, then, and you elect not to exercise that option, then as far as I'm concerned, you have nothing to gripe about. Whose fault is it at that point? You remember the Korean store owners in Los Angeles here a few years ago during the riots there? Up on their roofs with assault rifles and shotguns and stuff. Yeah, you know what? They didn't get robbed. Their stores didn't get broke into. funny how that works. Matter of fact, right now... there is a Craigslist ad out there that says it says roof Koreans for hire. Much success during LA riots. No looters at our store. Added bonus. Can't be accused of racism, especially if violent mobs are fired upon. We'll provide own ammo, but we'll charge extra for any rounds spent. Yeah, Craigslist ad. It's an actual Craigslist ad. Let's see if I can put this in the... it says, see, Craigslist, St. Louis, all services, skilled trade services is what it's under. And it shows that very picture that we all saw in the papers and on TV, where these Koreans with their little headbands on and everything were all on the roofs of their businesses with long guns, and their stores didn't get robbed. It's funny how that works, actually. I was rather impressed. So let's see. Let me put this in there and see if it's going to work. Okay, there's the actual Craigslist ad right there. Click on that. You can blow it up. You see the map over there. It shows Ferguson. Roof Koreans for hire. Ferguson posted, 6 days ago? Something like that. So somebody jumped on this pretty quickly after the stuff started there. Hey, you know what? We are not going to take a break because we're already over. Miss Amy, you can go over whatever you need to do if you need to. I'm sorry, we got off here and on a roll, and we are 7 minutes into your time. So feel free.
I'm okay with that.
We're gonna. What do you mean you're okay with that? Yeah. You were okay with that last night, and you went over too. And that's okay. We don't mind. We love hearing you. Yeah, you need to put those on. And they need to be hooked up, and they are. So, now then, we're going to, without further ado here, let's see. Let's do this, because this is Tuesday.
Say where she came from. Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright, or in the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and goes.
And now, please welcome Amy Reynolds for Living Way Out Here on Just Measures Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. We all have been waiting here with bated breath for you to come join us.
Well, hello to all of you out there, and there's a lot of people in the chat. There's Double R, hello, Pumpkin Cat, Mouse. Doc One, Mother Earth, gosh, who else? Miss Pookie Two, Queso, Mini Minpin. Oh gosh, I don't want to leave anyone out. But
Miss Pookie and Mother Earth and Double R, we don't get to see very often.
Yeah, but anyway, guys, thanks for wading through my show, and I appreciate you guys doing that. But I'm going to go ahead and get started. First of all, I want to see a show of hands. Well, I guess maybe not.
Here.
Is
you want to see my feet, too?
No, thanks. No? Is who celebrated today? Remember, today's holiday? National Potato Day. We had baked potatoes for dinner.
Today was Potato Day? National Potato Day? How did we know that?
Because I said it last night on my show.
Oh. I guess you'd had been. Guess you'd had been there, huh?
Yeah. Were you not?
I guess not. I think that was some else place.
All right. Well, Minnie Minpin had steak fries. All right. There you go. See, that's good. All right. Well, let me tell you what the tomorrow's holidays is, so you guys can celebrate. Tomorrow's holiday is National Lemonade Day. Now, let me tell you. I have a lemonade recipe, and I don't like sour stuff, but I like good lemonade. And I had this recipe, this lemonade, before. A friend of mine had given it to me, and it was really, really good. So I would like you guys, if you have a good lemonade recipe, I would like you to email it to me. Let me give you my email address. It is all lowercase, so I guess it doesn't matter. LWOH stands for Living Way Out Here. LWOH 9@yahoo.com. I'm sure Cope will put that in the chat here for you in just a second. M. Jans, I guess
Lima
Tater Tots.
Lima Whiskey Oscar Hotel Niner at which?
Yahoo.
Oh, at yahoo.com.
Yeah.
Yahoo.
M. Jans has asked if tater tots count. Maybe, possibly. I don't know.
Well, they're potatoes.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Most of them. Sometimes they could be.
Anyway, that right there is my email address. If you guys could, if you guys have a good lemonade recipe, I'd like you to email it to me, please. I'd like to try it. All right, now, Mini Min Pin, that sounds really good. Carbonated water and lemonade and limeade. I've never heard of that. That sounds really good. Okay, let me tell you this recipe that I have, and maybe you guys have used it too. And this is the one that a friend of mine made, and it is so good. It only has three ingredients. You have three lemons, 5 cups of water,
and 2 eggs,
and 3/4 cups of sugar.
Oh.
What you're going to do, and you make it in a blender, but what you're going to do is you're going to leave the skins on the lemons. Don't peel the lemons. You cut them in quarters. So you're going to quarter the lemons, put those in the blender, put in the 5 cups of water and the 3/4 cups of sugar. You're going to blend that on high for about a minute so everything's all good and blended and everything. And then you are going to, if you want, you can let the mixture sit for a little bit until all the lemon bits and everything will float up to the top. And if not, because you're going to strain it anyway, but you want to strain it, put it through a strainer and then into a pitcher, and then you drink it, and it's just that good. It's even good with crushed ice in there. That's how I had it. But anyway, it's really, really, really refreshing. It is so fresh tasting because you're using the whole lemon, and it's just really, really good. But anyway, so try that again. 3 lemons, quartered, 5 cups of water, and 3/4 cups of sugar. Put it in the blender, blend it for a minute, strain it, and drink it. Now, if you guys have another lemonade recipe, please email me at my email address, because I would really like to I'd like to try it, like to see it. I love recipes anyway. I am kind of like an idiot for recipe books and recipes, and I don't know why, but I really have always been like that.
I can vouch for that.
I really do. I love recipes.
What size almonds?
You know what? The ones I had were, they were...
lemon size.
They were lemon size, yeah. But they were large. I mean, depending on what large is. But a good sized lemon is what it was. And then obviously, you know, the bigger the lemons, the more lemonade it's going to make. But large. Mother Earth, I would do large.
If you go to Mesa, Arizona, and get lemons fresh on the trees down there, you're going to find out what a large lemon really is. They're like grapefruits.
Yeah. So anyway, so there you have it. And how weird is this? Now, here I am talking about lemonade, because tomorrow is National Lemonade Day, and I am also a lover of hot chocolate. That is my drink of choice when it's cold. And I love hot chocolate in the morning when it's cold mornings. And it's actually kind of chilly tonight. I'm sitting here with a sweatshirt on, and I am drinking my first cup of hot chocolate of the season. I'm talking about lemonade.
Jeez, it ain't that chilly, man. 60 degrees out there.
Oh, yes.
It is.
Well, it's chilly. So anyway, and also, you know, if you guys even have a good hot chocolate recipe, I'm always looking for those too. And I can't stand it. You know, I go to the restaurant sometime and I'll order hot chocolate, and you know that they've just emptied an envelope and poured hot water in it. Oh, I can't stand that. So I don't like to order it at a restaurant, because I know that's, and then they try to make it look fancy with whipped cream on top. And if I remember, I had them not put the whipped cream on, but I think they kind of do that to make it look fancy. But so if you have any good hot chocolate recipes, also email that to me too. So I would love that. Okay. Doc One says hot chocolate. I have a melted Hershey bar in my truck.
It works.
Anyway, okay, well, let's go ahead and let me tell you what our who's having a birthday today. And
it was 54 degrees when I was coming home from town a while ago. I was up on the hill.
Yeah. Chilly.
In the middle of daytime.
Yeah. You know, before we do that, Mother Earth put in a hot chocolate with mint in it. You know, that is my very favorite thing. It's, in fact, I love to have hot chocolate, and sometimes around Christmas, you know, you have those little miniature candy canes. I will put one of those in my hot chocolate, and it will melt in there.
No.
And let me tell you, I'm sure you just heard Cope underneath his breath. He just said no.
I was kind of doing it above my breath.
I just have to tell you, Cope and each one of his children, and he has four, they cannot stand, in fact, they hate the taste of chocolate and mint together.
Yep.
Why?
That's us.
That is the best thing ever.
Because it's nasty. It's like mustard on watermelon.
Well, now that's nasty.
Uh-huh.
No.
Kind of like putting mint and chocolate.
No. Chocolate and mint together is like so good. I love that. But anyway.
Now, Cope and Amy together, that's better. I can do that pretty well. But not mustard and watermelon.
But we're talking about chocolate and mint.
Same difference.
Anyway. Okay. So I do love that. And that is way, way good. But yes. Okay. Having a birthday today, Bill Clinton.
Brother, who's next?
Bill Clinton is 68 years old today. I thought he was older than that. But he is 68. M. Jans is with you on the mint and chocolate. He said those two things don't go together.
That's right.
Anyway, Bill Clinton, 42nd president of the United States, obviously. And he was also the, I don't know, well, you guys probably know this, I'm sure. Old news. He's the second U.S. president to be impeached by the House, but he was acquitted by the Senate, as we all know that. All right, another birthday today, John Deacon. John Deacon is a bass player and a composer with the band Queen, if you guys remember Queen. And this is Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need
no. All right. I kind of like that song.
That's a good song. It was
really
popular.
I don't mind listening to it two or three times a year, maybe.
Okay. Peter Baker having a birthday today. He's a drummer for a band, if you guys remember Cream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I remember Cream. I just didn't ever know this was their name. I had no idea.
The name of the song is a band.
The band. I've heard this song my whole life.
Oh, you know it was by Cream?
I never knew Cream existed. Never heard of Cream.
In a white room with black curtains near the station.
I always thought this was like Three Dog Night or something. I never even heard Cream's name that I remember.
That's a good song. I think it might have been kind of a one-hit wonder, people.
It might have been, because I never heard anything else they ever did.
Another birthday today, Johnny Nash. He's a singer. He's the one that sang, I Can See Clearly Now. I like this song.
Might be a ninth grade.
A catchy little tune. I like that song.
It's a very catchy. It sticks with you. I'll be hearing that damn thing in my head all night long now. That reminds me, in the ninth grade on the school bus, I remember Duane Gay, Barry Hill, and Kendra Roundy getting up and singing that on the bus.
Who?
Dwana Gay, Barry Hill, and Kendra Roundy.
And what was the bus number?
I don't remember.
Really?
No. Was...
What color socks?
No, pants. White.
What color pants were you wearing?
Blue.
Uh-huh. All right. And then the last birthday we have today, Eddie Raven. He's a country singer.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Right Hand Man is the name of this.
Johnny gave Susan a wedding band. Now she wears it on her left hand. I'm doing the best I can to forget she used to call me her right hand man. Susan always knew I'm not the marrying kind, but she said she would love me for all time. Till the wedding band sparkles and shines. Be my right.
There you go. I like that song. All right, so those are the birthdays. Not many, not a whole lot today. So if any of you are having a birthday today, happy birthday to you from me. And I will tell you, I only have one thing that happened on this day in history that I thought was worth talking about. It's not even that major, but it was okay. On this day, August the 19th, the year of 1848, the news about the gold rush in California hit the East Coast. And that's just started the whole rush, I believe. But
well, actually, it started next year.
Yeah.
That's how come they call them the 49ers.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So let me tell you our Ripley's Believe It or Not things today for tonight.
If you say it, I'll believe it.
I had it on here, and I must have closed it, so let me grab it really quick again. See how long it will take to get it back. All right, here we go. This is kind of weird. I don't know. Anyway, the age of a bear. Do you know how you can determine the age of a bear?
Count the growth rings in his teeth?
Yes?
No.
Yes, how did you...
No way!
I'm serious.
No way. Tell me what it says.
Oh, okay. The age of a bear can be determined by counting the rings in its teeth.
Wow. I was trying to be a smartass and it didn't work.
How weird. That was just a wild guess.
Yeah, wild. It was a swag.
A what?
Swag. Scientific wild-ass guess.
Wow. Anyway, okay, here's another one. The 47-story, 612-foot-tall Singer Tower in New York, the world's tallest building when it was constructed in 1908, was also the tallest to be demolished when it was pulled down by its owner in 1968. It was up for 60 years and he took it down. And then this is a little bit weird, and I don't know why people do this. I don't understand it, and I will never go and watch one of these because I cannot stand to watch people eat food if they're sloppy eaters. I don't know what it is, but I can't stand it. So here's this lady. Her name is Molly Schuler, and she's from Nebraska. She only weighs 125 pounds, but she completed a 72-ounce steak in 4 minutes and 58 seconds.
4 minutes?
In January of this year, 2014.
She must have done that at the Big Texan Steakhouse in Lubbock, Texas, Amarillo, Texas.
I don't know, but whatever it was, it's sick. It's gross. I don't know why people do that kind of thing.
125 pounds. You know, I think she was on TV.
72-ounce steak in 4 minutes. Who does that besides?
Doesn't she do that for a living? Doesn't she go around and do that? Because there was somebody that was, she was a little lady, not very big at all. But I remember her, I don't know if it's the same one or not, but I remember her going through that 72-ounce steak, and then she went on to several eating contests around the nation. That's what she does, go to these things. And I don't know if it's the same girl, but...
I don't either.
But 72-ounce steaks that I know of are at the Big Texan Steakhouse. There's one in Lubbock and one in Amarillo.
4 minutes and 58 seconds. Under 5 minutes.
Damn, I can't eat a hamburger in that length of time, much less 72-ounce steak.
I know. Yeah.
Well, she was sucking it down, wasn't she?
Man.
She must have put it in a blender first and drank it.
Well, she couldn't even do that. You couldn't even drink that in that amount of time.
4 minutes. Jeez.
That's crazy. All right. Anyway, so those are your Ripley's Believe It or Not things. All right. I'm going to tell you this. There's this lady here. She's she lives in Salt Lake City, Utah. She's 86 years old. And it says that she has become the she's a first-time novelist at 86 years old, and she has written a steamy romance novel about a bored housewife. Now, she said it took her 5 years to write this book, and it's a tale of a woman who listens to talk radio. And she really likes the name of the voice of the man that she hears on the radio. And so she, I don't know, she says that's what the book's about. But she said that the man, he has magic in his voice. And just the character just turned her on. And she just liked to listen to this man's voice. And so she wrote a book about it.
Hmm.
Now, she had, like, she's 86 years old, so she has an adult daughter. Her adult daughter's name is Bobby. Bobby Posey. She says she's very proud of her mother's accomplishment. However, she says she's a little bit taken aback about the steaminess in this book written by her mother. She says it's kind of...
Mother?
Exactly. She says, how can you write that? Why did you... What are you doing? But she says that the mom says, well, I did it. And it's a 176-page book. It's called No Goodbye, and it came out in February. Available on Kindle and Amazon, but it's not in bookstores. But she says that the mom, the daughter, she says, well, the mom says, the woman says that it's, she insists that the story, it's completely fiction. Come on, honey, it's okay. It's completely fiction. But the daughter says that she's not buying it. She says,
but you were thinking it.
She says, we know that it's actually a lot of real life in there. She says, because we know who she's talking about in the book. She says, her daughter, her kids have read it. She says, we know, Mom, we know who you're talking about in this book. It is not fiction. We know what's going on. So anyway, so I think it's kind of funny. So this lady's getting the last laugh. She's 86 years old, and she's embarrassed her children, and she says, that's okay. It's okay. I want to write this book, and so I wrote it. Took her 5 years to do it, and she says, it's a good book.
Huh. Why don't you take a quick breather, and let me kill Winamp and start it up again. It looks like we're having a little bit of problem here. We're in and out. So you guys stand by just a minute.